This podcast is brought to you by St. Joseph's Episcopal Church in Boynton Beach, Florida, in the United States of America. You can find us at stjoesweb.org. Come visit us when you are in town.
Let us pray. With you, God of wholeness, those who work the graveyard shift of life find the dawn of resurrection. Those who look for healing are led to the living waters. Christ, our companion, richer than Gates, you chose to become as poor as Mother Teresa, to touch us with hope. You set aside glory's robe to wear the servant's towel so we might touch you and be made whole. So, Spirit of grace, encircle us with love which never ends. Touch us with grace which mends all brokenness. Pour out your mercy, which heals all our wounds. Amen. I am sure I am not the first person to pose this story, but indulge me as we go along here. It begins with a beautiful young woman in first century Palestine who meets this young man who obviously is an up-and-comer in Jewish society, and they fall in love. They marry. She is excited to tell him at some point that she is with child. And he is very excited. He continues to grow up in that society and get better and better rank and status. And the day comes for the birth of their child, and she gives birth to this beautiful baby girl. But something happens. And there are complications after birth. And they don't know if she's going to survive because she continues to bleed. And this man, who's the up-and-comer, has become this leader in the synagogue. And if he is with his wife who is bleeding, she is unclean, and therefore he becomes unclean. And the story that had started out so beautifully really goes downhill. He decides to choose his career and staying with the synagogue and being away from her so he is not unclean. And as was so often the case for men in those days, he divorces her and takes the child with him. Time goes on. The girl starts to grow. He continues to grow in his career, and her condition continues to worsen, such that she goes to every doctor and quack that she can to get healed. They take her money. She gets no relief. And now 12 years passed. She's at a point of desperation. And this man who had been growing in this synagogue all of a sudden finds that his beautiful little 12-year-old girl is very ill to the point of death. Now enter into today's gospel with that as perhaps a made-up backdrop. This man, Jairus, a leader of the synagogue, a man who in all probability are one of those Pharisees who had been shaking their fingers at Jesus earlier, saying, "Who do you think you are to be doing all this stuff, especially on the Sabbath?" A man who had ridiculed him, and now he is brought to his knees by the near death of his little girl. On the other hand, here is this lowly wife. Women had very little status in those days, and if they were divorced, they had none. And if they had a situation and disease like hers, they were unclean totally. And now we hear this story. Jairus comes to Jesus. And as we know, sickness and death are the leveler out of all people. Jesus, do whatever you can. Save my daughter. And in the midst and in the middle of all that, Mark interposes this story of the woman suffering from hemorrhages for how many years? 12 years. The little girl, how old is she? 12 years old. Maybe this isn't a made-up story. But the point, whether it's true or not, is this juxtaposition of these two characters, both of whom Jesus calls, not by name, but the same sort of caring title. And Jesus takes care of both. Now imagine this, if the story I began with ended up being true. Imagine this, that Jesus, after he has healed the woman with the hemorrhages for 12 years and says, go in peace, your faith has made you well. Remember, she's already been healed. She felt it when she touched his cloak. And after that, Jesus says, you are now healed. Perhaps it would be an indication in this maybe made up scenario, maybe not, that now she can be returned to her former situation. So when Jesus gets to Jairus' house and he ends up putting out the disciples and goes back in with the girl's father and mother. Can you imagine a more powerful scene if it is the mother of that child who has been segregated away from society, including her little girl, for 12 years, and Jesus brings them back together and brings the girl back to life? Probably not true, but it could be. Because we know from these stories that this is the type of thing that Jesus does. It's not so much about the cures that he brings as it is about the healing that he brings. And I think that, above all, is what Mark wants us to understand today in this gospel. Remember the pyramid? We started this a few weeks ago with this section of Mark's gospel. The bookends of that pyramid, the elbows. The first thing is that Jesus' family doesn't accept him. The other bookend of that pyramid is going to be a prophet is without honor in his hometown. We're going to hear that next weekend. And in between, on the first half of the rising part of the pyramid, we have all of these wonderful stories and parables, a prophet mighty in word. And then on the back end of this pyramid going down where we are today, we hear about a prophet mighty in deeds. We heard the storm at sea, the apex of that whole pyramid last week. Jesus having power, even over nature. Well, today we get the ultimate. It's not just power over the Sabbath. It's not just power over sickness. It's not just power over nature. It's power even over death. We have three stories in the gospel where Jesus brings back someone from death. The widow at Nain, the raising of Lazarus, and the raising of Jairus' daughter. This juxtaposition that Mark gives us is to let us know that no matter the lowest of the low or the highest of the high, the healing that Jesus offers is to everyone, no matter what. How low we have sunk, or how high our pride has brought us to think we are. It's a pretty amazing story. The juxtaposition of the touch, that the woman who is unclean touches Jesus, effectively making Jesus unclean. Jesus touching the little girl who is sick and possibly dead. And now Jesus has made himself unclean by their ritual laws. Showing us again, on both ends of the spectrum, it's about healing. So perhaps above all today, what maybe we need to take away from this is there are parts of all of us that need healing. Might be little things. It might be the hugest thing ever that we can't even voice with words. The gospel today is telling us that there is nothing that Jesus cannot heal. We are gifted that sometimes that healing includes a cure if it's needed, but if not a cure, there is healing. So, it's about his power over death, and not just physical death, but anything that is causing death inside of us. Notice in both cases, he tells both the woman and he tells Jairus something about giving up their fear. And that's what he's trying to tell us too. Do not fear, but believe. I can remember back a summer when our daughter Demery was just a little tot. We were staying at the family beach home up south of St. Augustine in a place called Summer Haven, where some of you were able to visit with us some years ago. And in the summertime, they get these ferocious storms that come up. We're in Florida, huh? And this particular beach house, it didn't have air conditioning at the time, so we had windows on all four sides of the house open. And the storm came up. Dee had gone into the city to pick up some supplies, and wouldn't you know it, this is when the storm comes up. And the water was raging in from all four sides of the house. The thunder and the lightning were constant, constant, constant. And here I am with this little child, my child, our child, who's experiencing this for the first time, and I didn't know if the whole place was going to implode from a tornado or something. So she's scared. She's crying. What are we going to do? And somehow I got this idea to pull out the pots and the pans from the pantry and took a big spoon and just started running around the house, banging the pots and the pans as we were laughing at the storm. Go away, storm, go away. And it brought laughter to her out of the tears. There is something in this story that is about that for us. Jesus telling us, those storms we talked about last week at sea, well, those storms within us, those places where we are in turmoil, where we need healing, Jesus is saying you can laugh at that death within you because I can handle that. There's a great poet in the Anglican Church by the name of John Donne. He almost died of typhoid fever, was delivered from it. It obviously impacted the themes of his poetry. As such to say, as Paul says, O death, where is thy victory? Where is thy sting? And he writes this beautiful sonnet that talks about that experience. He calls it, "Death, be not proud." Maybe as you hear me read it, it can be the opportunity to let that death be that within you that needs to just be laughed aside, to let Jesus heal it. This is what he writes. "Death, be not proud, though some have called thee mighty and dreadful, for thou art not so. For those whom thou thinkest thou dost overflow, die not, poor death, nor yet canst thou kill me. From rest and sleep, which but thy pictures be, much pleasure, then from thee much more must flow. And soonest our best men with thee do go, rest of their bones and souls delivery. Thou art slave to fate, chance, kings, and desperate men, and dost with poison, war, and sickness dwell. And poppy or charms can make us sleep as well. And better than thy stroke, why swellest thou then? One short sleep past, we wake eternally, and death shall be no more. Death, thou shalt die." It is the basis of our faith, ultimately, that death is not the end. Death is transition, change for us. Maybe today we need to expand that thinking for the rest of our earthly lives. That whatever is dead within us, that too can die if we are but willing to let Jesus heal us. Amen.